Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with my co-host, Tim Henney. The documentary Extraordinary People will screen tonight at 6:30 p.m. in the Jim Santee Auditorium of the Park City Library Building. The film is presented by Extraordinary Ventures, an organization dedicated to creating viable small businesses that employ adults with autism and other developmental disabilities. It was brought to Park City by the local organization called Bridge 21. We're joined on the phone by Greg Ireland of Extraordinary Ventures and also Katie Holyfield. She's one of the founders of Lucky Ones Coffee Shop at the library, and she's also representing Bridge 21. Greg and Katie, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Thank you.
Greg Ireland, why don't you just tell us first, I know you've come from, I believe it's North Carolina, to be on the panel this evening, and Extraordinary Ventures was founded by your wife, and you are on the board, and it's all because of this wonderful young man you have in your family, your son. Can you just take us through some of the gaps that you felt weren't serving Vinny when he got to be of an age that he needed more?
Well, that's right. I mean, it's not just Vinny, of course, but yes, for Vinny, he had services throughout the period that he was at school. And, you know, essentially what happens is once you transition out of high school, and I think this is true across the country, these services either completely disappear or certainly are greatly diminished. And so here you have a situation where an important part of the population, my son Vinny, for example, trying to prepare for life, and then suddenly there's nothing, and there's the housing is a big issue, employment's a big issue. The unemployment rate affecting this population is estimated at, you know, over 80%. These people don't have a place to necessarily live for the rest of their lives. It's a real crisis.
Well, there is a group, as you probably already know, of very enthusiastic and involved parents in Park City and their children. They are working very hard to create more resources, and I've seen them so passionate about this, and it's really wonderful how they've banded together. And Katie Holyfield, the co-founder of Lucky Ones Coffee at the library, employing those with differing abilities. Neurodiverse is a new term I've learned. And so, Katie, why don't you talk to what you've seen in Bridge 21 and then what your idea was about bringing this documentary and the Irelands to town?
Yes, Bridge 21 is a wonderful organization. Here in Park City, it's been very grassroots, so it's a lot of parents, educators, just people around the community that have a passion for this population. So what they want to do here is they want to focus on everything that's post-21, so bridging that 21 gap. And people talk about the cliff that at 21, a lot of the services stop, and so they're trying to bridge that and create fulfilling lives throughout the lives. They are going to be focusing on employment opportunities within the city, so talking with local businesses and trying to connect. Another big factor that they are taking on, which I think is wonderful, is co-housing, so neurodiverse housing. And there's so many models around the country of these different neurodiverse housing situations. And some of them are a blend that it's different people in the community with people of neurodiversity all living together in the same house or the same community and getting along and helping each other out. So tonight they're going to be showing a couple shorts before the film. They're going to be showing there's a North Street documentary, and it's based out of North Carolina. There's also The Hub, and which is going to be co-housing that's actually going to be starting down in Salt Lake through the Columbus Center. So that's very exciting and very, you know, in our backyard here. And then we're going to be following it up with the Extraordinary Ventures documentary, which will be wonderful.
My perception is that recently these initiatives, which have been in our community because we've had this population in our community, have suddenly gained a different type of energy and traction. And things are happening in a different way. And Katie and Greg, you both talked about this cliff. At a certain age, the services that do exist no longer exist. So there must have been a time when there were no services. But we haven't really, it's kind of laid dormant in the community. I've been aware of the population, but there's something different about what's happening now. And Lucky Ones is an example of what's different. Is it my perception that there's something different and there's a new energy around this population and the services that can be provided and maybe should be provided?
Let me take a stab at the national question or the bigger question, and then Katie can speak about Park City and all the things that are happening here, which, by the way, are incredibly exciting. This is a really, really wonderful development. The earlier question about my son. When he was diagnosed 26 years ago, those were the dark ages for, especially for autism. Very few services, not much known about autism. We've come a long way in understanding autism, at least we, the autism world, but we have a long way to go. So now that we understand it, we still don't have solutions for housing. We still don't have places in the workforce for these folks. So we have a long way to go. We've been showing our film around the country. Our program's been going on. This is a company we have, the business, for a little over 10 years. Well, because of the success, we're very lucky, like the lucky ones, and we developed this short film, and we've been taking it around the country. This is actually the end of about a 9-month road show. We've been all over, and private screenings, and it's completely different in different places. So we're starting to see percolation of interest. Groups like Bridge 21 get together, get very excited, but there's a lot of work to be done.
Greg, I just have to say, those dark ages must have been so frightening, frustrating, and discouraging for you and families like yours. I mean, I can't even imagine what that must have been like. And I'm assuming and hoping that you have achieved a different level of comfort with the information that has been gathered over the last 26 years that your son, from his first diagnosis.
Well, we used to worry about it being a disease that could be cured. I think that those days are over. I think we now understand that it's a lifelong condition. And then when we think harder about it, we know that for the people that have this lifelong condition, they can be successful and happy, but it takes a lot of change in society. So it's not so much today that, at least in my realm, my friends, people we talk to all over the country, aren't as concerned about curing people. Of course they are. They want to find a cure. They want to understand autism. But these folks are going to live a full life, and they need to have the things that will bring a fulfilling life to them. And so that's where the focus is today that's different. And I would have to tell you that that around the country, the services for these people are not, it's not just very much. They don't exist in many places. And that is the dark ages of the families that are coming along now with young children. They're looking at a very dark situation like we did. But as I say, I think all together with the Bridge 21 and folks like that, we can change this scenario.
Katie Holyfield, want to add to that?
Yeah, I would agree that I think in the past there has been a huge weight on parents' shoulders that not only housing, but they're out there and they are knocking on doors and trying to work with voc rehab and trying to, you know, bang down these doors to create opportunities for their children. And I think that what we're seeing is a lot more of just us pitching in as a community and kind of also shouldering some of that and trying to create these opportunities for people. I even think about, we've had numerous families come into Lucky Ones, and some of the reactions that we've gotten is just from children and people that are younger and maybe not working age yet, but that they've never seen one of their peers in that type of situation, in a working situation. And so I think one thing that's really cool with all of the initiatives with employment is that we're kind of creating bigger dreams that, you know, all of us, that we see our peers doing a whole world of things out there. And so, you know, to dream big. If you don't see your peers every day doing those jobs, then you don't even know that you can dream to do those. And so what I think that is really important here, and one thing that both Lucky Ones and Ridge 21 is focused on is creating just a whole world of opportunities that you're not, you know, working at a coffee shop is not going to be everyone's dream. You know, our employees love it and it's wonderful, but there's going to be some dreams out there that aren't going to be that. And so what can we do as a community to work together and create some of those other opportunities is really, I think, kind of the future here. We even have seen with Lucky Ones that other members of the community, other business owners. In fact, yesterday I set up an interview for one of our employees, Porter, with Angela from Sweets and Cheeses, that she was looking for a delivery driver and she wanted someone that would be passionate, would show up to work on time, would be excited about what they're doing. And Porter was perfect. He fits that bill. And that's not easy to find in a ski town, that to have a population that is dying to work, excited to work, will show up to work on time every day. And I think that it can solve a lot of the businesses in the community's problems.
It makes me chuckle because I know Porter, and I can't think of anyone who loves to drive more than Porter and loves his car. And so I think that's wonderful. So tonight at 6:30 p.m. in the Jim Santee Auditorium, again, it's Extraordinary People. It's a short documentary, about 30 minutes, and then there'll be a panel discussion afterwards. And what, although I haven't seen the documentary, I can only picture this. So I know there are six vignettes or six different people that it follows in their employment. And what it says to me, and what I've often wonder about with employment of people with diverse abilities, and is that it's not going to be the same for any one person, you know, especially if you're looking on the autism spectrum. And maybe, Greg, you could speak to this. You know, what works for one kid or one young adult is not going to work for another. And it could be anything from different sounds or just different, you know, interactions with people. Or what would you say about that with the documentary and what it's going to teach us?
Yes, absolutely. I think anybody that sees the documentary, we've shown it, by the way, at healthcare facilities. We were in Christiana Care Hospital outside of Philadelphia just last week. We had a screening at the New York Police Department about 2 weeks ago. And what we're finding is that people who don't know much about autism but want to learn a little more, in 30 minutes, you're going to see six totally different individuals, and you're going to learn a lot about the challenges they face, but their skills and what interests them. And it's really a window into these six different people. But as you mentioned, autism is something that everybody is different. Well, you know, everybody is different, whether you have autism or not. And trying to line up your life with what makes you happy, where your interests are, where your strengths are, that's what we all are trying to do. And so what we're trying to do at Extraordinary Ventures, what we're trying to do with the film, what Lucky Ones is doing in Faith right here in Park City, is lining up interests and strengths so that the business, in this case, employment, is successful. So you're not trying to jam somebody who's not going to make it work out in one way or another into something that just doesn't work.
Yeah. Well said. And I'm wondering about some tips that I know we'll hear this evening, but if our listening audience is out there, you know, there might be people right now who have businesses who would like to create positions for some of these young people. What are the tips? I know that, you know, in different businesses in town, like at the PC Mark, for example, they've talked about creating these positions, but they want it to be meaningful work. They don't want it to just be... Not, I don't think they even have towels at the Mark, but they don't want it to just be handing out a towel sort of thing.
I think, right. I was going to say, a big thing is everyone's an individual. And so one thing that we've seen as the city's talking about employment too within the city is that everyone's an individual. So it might be meeting someone, interviewing them, and kind of figuring out what the best place for them would be, what their strengths are, and playing to that is just my thought on it.
You want to add to that, Greg?
Well, you know, and Katie will tell you this, you hire somebody and you start them out trying to do the best you can with lining them up with their strengths and so forth, and give it some time, 2 weeks, 6 weeks, 2 months, and suddenly that person comes to life in a way that you didn't expect. And all of a sudden they can do things that you didn't think they could do.
Absolutely.
And it's the same for all of us. That we all on the, all the listeners, you started the job at one point. You were not very good at that job when you started day one. It takes time. A month, 2 months, you start settling into the job, and all of a sudden you gravitate to achieving things that you that were not possible in the at the outset. So the stereotype, either that people with autism are like the good doctor, they're brilliant and just kind of kooky, you know, but they're brilliant, or on the other hand, that they're not capable of doing things that everyone else is doing, those throw those out the window. Let's start all over, because the disability that we're talking about with autism anyway is a social skills disability. It is not an intellectual disability. People with autism, the whole population, has the same curve, intellectual curve, as the regular population. There's no difference. But these social issues that can be overcome easily, again, based on experience, getting them on the job, this is where the magic, you know, this is where we've found at Extraordinary Ventures that, so my tip to people, give someone a chance, but also give it a little time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't overwhelm them and give it some time, just like you wanted, treat them like you wanted to be treated when you had your first job.
I think also you can spin some things that can be seen as weaknesses into positives. That, you know, you see someone who, especially on the autism spectrum, might do things that are repetitive. There are jobs out there that are perfect for that, that you are going to get a consistent job every single time, and it's wonderful.
Katie Holyfield and Greg Ireland, thank you so much for joining us. Again, it's screening tonight at 6:30. It's Extraordinary People. It's at the Jim Santee Auditorium. I'm assuming it's free.
Yes.
Yes. And thanks for joining us, Greg.
Thank you.
And want to thank our underwriters.
San Francisco Design, Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation, Davidson Orthopedics, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties.
Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Life. It's KPCW Park City.